Tonight, President Biden's new warning to Vladimir Putin ahead of their high-stakes meeting in less than 48 hours. The president calling Putin a worthy adversary after meeting with other world leaders in his NATO debut and telling Russia if it continues its harmful activities, the U.S. will respond. And does he still believe that Putin is a killer, what he's now saying? And more of our NBC News exclusive interview, Putin denying responsibility for cyber attacks on the U.S., and his response when asked directly, did he order the assassination attempt on Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny? Our Keir Simmons in Moscow. The massive explosion and fire at a chemical plant nearby homes evacuated, why it could burn for days. The UK delaying its reopening by a month as cases of the Delta variant soar there. How well do the vaccines protect against it? The deadly shooting inside a Georgia supermarket, officials saying it all began with a dispute over a mask. It comes amid a national surge in gun violence. 10 mass shootings in 7 states in just 72 hours. Extreme heat in the west and a tropical storm expected to form off the east coast. And the price you pay for summer travel, are you getting the most out of your points?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. President Biden setting the stage for his face-to-face with Russia's Vladimir Putin later this week, warning tonight the U.S. will respond if Russia does not change its behavior. The president with a stronger hand to play going into that meeting after cementing the fractured American bond with NATO. Meeting with fellow NATO ministers in Brussels today, President Biden declaring the military alliance and its core foundation of mutual defense are rock solid as he works to nurture a relationship derided by President Trump when he was in office. The president, along with the rest of the world, getting what may prove to be a preview of the summit, as we hear more today from President Putin in an NBC News exclusive interview. But let's begin in Brussels now with NBC's Peter Alexander.
Tonight, less than 48 hours ahead of that high-stakes summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin, President Biden calling him a worthy adversary and delivering this warning.
If he chooses not to cooperate and acts in a way that he has in the past relative to cybersecurity and some other activities, then we will respond.
The president also denouncing Putin's crackdown of his political opponents when asked what would happen if high-profile Putin critic Alexei Navalny died in a Russian jail.
It would be a tragedy. It would do nothing but hurt his relationships with the rest of the world, in my view, and with me.
President Biden's arrival here at NATO, heralded by allies, is a new chapter where former President Trump slammed the transatlantic alliance as obsolete. Mr. Biden today touted the U.S.'s commitment to the group as a sacred obligation.
I just want all of Europe to know that the United States is there.
But critics say the president's policy towards Russia has been weak, including his recent decision to waive sanctions that would have blocked the completion of a gas pipeline Putin wants in Europe.
He's not going into this particular meeting with Putin from a position of strength, but rather of weakness, because he's already given him so many concessions.
Tonight, President Biden responding to another criticism that this summit is an undeserved reward for the Russian leader.
Every world leader here as a member of NATO thanked me for meeting with Putin.
Before arriving in Brussels, the president's trip to the UK punctuated by pageantry, a royal reception courtesy of the Queen at Windsor Castle.
She reminded me of my mother in terms of the look of her and just the generosity.
Did you invite her to the White House?
Yes.
Peter, has there been a final decision as to whether the two presidents will appear for questions after the meeting?
Lester, with the president saying that he's prepared to confront Vladimir Putin, we now know that he will not be doing it in public. The White House announcing that President Biden will not hold a joint news conference afterwards with Putin. Instead, he'll take questions alone. Lester?
Peter Alexander tonight. Thank you. President Biden reacted today to our exclusive interview with Vladimir Putin. What did he think of Putin laughing off his criticism that he was a killer? NBC's Keir Simmons also pressing the Russian leader over whether he targeted his top critic.
Tonight, President Biden, with his own response to President Putin, who, in our exclusive interview, laughed off the American president's suggestion that he was a killer.
When President Biden was asked whether he believes you are a killer, he said, "I do. Mr. President, are you a killer?"
Look, over my tenure, I've gotten used to attacks from all kinds of angles.
President Biden was asked about that response late today.
I'm laughing too.
In our interview, we pressed the Russian leader on the accusation from critics that he tried to have his leading opponent, Alexei Navalny, killed. Navalny blames Russia for poisoning him and is now in a Russian jail. This is the first time the direct question has been put to President Putin.
Did you order Alexei Navalny's assassination?
Of course not. We don't have this kind of habit of assassinating anybody. That's one. Number two is, I want to ask you, did you order the assassination of the woman who walked into the Congress and who was shot and killed by a policeman? Do you know that 450 individuals were arrested after entering the Congress, and they didn't go there to steal a laptop? They came with political demands. 450 people.
We're talking about the Capitol riots.
In our interview, President Putin often changing the subject to his criticism of America.
Isn't that persecution for political opinions?
There you go again, Mr. President. What about America when I've asked you about Russia?
President Putin eager to criticize America, but less outspoken when we pressed him on China. Russia and China are increasingly close.
It's just a question of whether you are prepared to criticize China.
Can I be completely honest?
Please, yeah.
We can see attempts at destroying the relationship between Russia and China.
Both Russia and China's leaders have extended their potential term in office. Putin could be president until 2036.
Do you worry that the longer you are in power and without any sign of someone to replace you, the more instability there may be when you finally do choose to leave office?
Of course, somebody will come and replace me at some point if I can see that this is an individual who has constructive views, that he or she is committed to this country and is prepared to sacrifice his entire life to this country. I will do everything to make sure that such people will get support.
Tonight, President Putin inside the Kremlin, preparing to meet with his fifth U.S. president, telling us he'll negotiate on issues like cyber hacking while denying Russia is to blame. The Russian leader, who President Biden today called bright and tough, is also complex. This week's summit, high stakes for both sides. Lester?
Keir Simmons in Moscow tonight. Thank you. In this country, a huge fire at a chemical factory in Illinois could burn for days, and a mandatory evacuation order remains in effect. Megan Fitzgerald is there.
A humongous chemical fire has just broken out.
A massive chemical explosion at a petroleum plant just outside of Rockford, Illinois this morning.
We're going to shut down power to the plant.
All 70 employees making it out without injuries, but the fire prompting all residents and businesses within a mile radius to evacuate.
So you heard the explosion?
Oh, yeah, and multiple ones. Every time an explosion went off, the flames would go sky high.
James Berger lives yards away and could feel the heat from the raging fire. His sister, who lives 15 miles out of town, seeing debris falling into her yard.
The main thing is that we don't want an environmental nightmare to occur. And at ground level, the air quality is good. It's just what you see in being, you know, dumped into the atmosphere with the smoke.
An environmental hazard with no end in sight as investigators try to figure out how it started.
What you see burning behind me is chemical and product that's inside the plant. Now, fire officials tell us that this could burn for days. They're limiting the amount of water that they're dropping on the fire because they're concerned about an environmental nightmare where contaminated runoff makes its way into the nearby river. Lester, it's just 300 yards away.
Yeah, what an ominous and unsettling backdrop that is. Megan, thank you. In just 60 seconds, a supermarket cashier shot and killed in a dispute over wearing a mask. We'll have late details. As the country races to fully reopen, the new Delta variant of coronavirus is adding urgency to getting more people vaccinated. 174 million have gotten at least one dose as health authorities try to overcome resistance. Here's Miguel Almaguer.
As our nation marks the loss of more than 600,000 lives, tonight the highly contagious Delta variant, first identified in India, remains the most serious threat here at home. After exploding across the UK and now extending that nation's lockdown for another month, a new analysis suggests the fully vaccinated are more than 90% protected against hospitalization from the variant.
If you are vaccinated, you are protected.
But a fight is underway against vaccinations. A federal judge has just dismissed a lawsuit at Houston Methodist Hospital, siding with the medical center that's requiring all 25,000 employees be vaccinated by June 21st or face termination.
We are prepared to get terminated at this point.
Plaintiff and nurse Jennifer Bridges says the small group will appeal, but as more hospitals require vaccinations as part of employment, more protests and litigation are coming.
You can't just go into work and say, I don't want to do these things. You're not going to be working there too long. Pretty soon the employer is going to recognize vaccination as part of a safe workplace.
In addition to hospitals, select airlines and universities are requiring some employees to get vaccinated. And now with an estimated 30% of Americans still not back at the office, the legal groundwork is now set for more businesses to follow suit.
Here in California, where the state is lifting COVID restrictions tomorrow, employers will be given the right to verify the vaccination status of their employees. And that, too, could face legal challenges. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer, thank you. Authorities in DeKalb County, Georgia, say a cashier at a supermarket was shot and killed in an argument with a customer over wearing a mask. A sheriff's deputy working part-time at the store returned fire, wounding the suspect. And that shooting comes on the heels of a rash of gun violence across the country over the weekend. Now police across the country are bracing for a deadly summer. With more on that, here's Gabe Gutierrez.
Surveillance video captures the brazen attack in broad daylight. A cyclist stabbing a delivery man in the back. The NYPD now investigating. From New York to Chicago to Cincinnati, violent crime surged this weekend. At least 11 people killed, 55 wounded in 10 mass shootings across seven states.
Oh,
in Austin, Texas, one killed, 14 wounded.
Gunfire, gunfire.
In Savannah, Georgia, one killed, seven wounded.
These senseless acts of gun violence in our community have to stop.
Just this year in the U.S., there have been 273 mass shootings, defined as any incident where four or more people are shot. There have been 31 so far this June, and we're not even halfway through the month. What is going on here?
We've seen a lot of the pandemic-related issues related to mental health, unemployment, financial stress, combined with a lot of the retaliatory violence that happens in a lot of the inner cities.
But it's even more than usual. Portland, Oregon has seen a staggering 740% spike in homicide since last year. In this neighborhood with children watching, bullet holes are now common.
My wish for people out there who have guns to stop killing people.
Experts say gun violence usually peaks in August, so police departments across the country are concerned this trend could continue as more COVID restrictions are lifted, Lester.
All right, Gabe, thank you. We're tracking weather extremes on both coasts tonight. In the west, some 46 million are under heat alerts. And in the east, a tropical depression off North Carolina is expected to become a tropical storm tonight. It's a new era for America's closest ally in the Middle East. Naftali Bennett sworn in as Israel's new prime minister after Benjamin Netanyahu was ousted. But as Kelly Kobiea reports, he's vowing to fight on.
Tonight, the face of Israel's fragile new government. Politicians from the left, right, and center, led by the new prime minister, right-wing nationalist Naftali Bennett, pledging to repair ties with America's Democratic Party. The foreign minister today describing them as angry. Israel's new government sworn in on Sunday after an unruly vote. Several lawmakers were thrown out for heckling. Benjamin Netanyahu sat stone-faced as the coalition celebrated. Today, the former prime minister vowing again to bring down what he calls a dangerous government, saying he's the only one who can protect Israel from Iran and stand up to the U.S. president. Prime Minister Bennett says he too strongly opposes rejoining the Iran nuclear deal. He's against the two-state solution and for Israeli settlements.
It doesn't only matter what are Bennett's views, but what matters probably more is what will be his government's views, and there he will have to make a lot of compromises.
The first big test for this young government could come as soon as tomorrow with a far-right nationalist march planned in Jerusalem. It was postponed last week out of fears it could spark violence. Hamas has already vowed to respond. Lester?
All right, Kelly, thank you. Up next, the country's dangerous roads and much more that needs to be fixed. We begin a week-long series on the crumbling state of our infrastructure, and as you've seen for yourself likely, the problems are just about everywhere. Here's Tom Costello.
They're the most glaring examples of underfunded infrastructure, those potholes. Kelly Navarro blew two tires in Texas.
We shouldn't have to drive on highways like this. Roads or anything. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And it's widespread. Civil engineers give an overall grade of C to the nation's infrastructure, but much lower grades to aviation, dams, mass transit, water systems, and yes, roads and bridges. It's up to individual states to prioritize which bridges to fix when.
Here in Rhode Island, 16 to 20% of the bridges are structurally deficient, among the worst in the country. Look at this one, held up by wooden cribbing. Because the concrete above is crumbling, the rebar is rusting. The state gets a D- for its bridges.
Rhode Island has embarked on a massive repair effort, but hundreds of roads and bridges are on the list, which makes the federal infrastructure money critical.
The longer you wait to do it, the less safe it becomes. So certainly people's lives are in jeopardy over time. The longer you wait, the more costly the repair is.
More road projects also mean more jobs.
But it's not just roads and bridges. The Mississippi River is a 2,300-mile interstate of water with aging locks and levees and dams that require constant work just to keep critical barge and ship traffic moving.
500 million tons of cargo move on this massive river, including half of all U.S. grain exports. The Army Corps of Engineers is constantly dredging the river to keep it moving. But some dams and levees are now decades old and need replacing. Inland waterways get a D+, but the country's dams and levees get a D.
Meanwhile, further downriver, the Port of New Orleans is the country's sixth busiest, but it can't accommodate the world's newest, biggest ships.
With 90% of international goods arriving on ships, the port is spending $1.5 billion on a second terminal to handle ships that carry twice the cargo.
But really, we're only as efficient and have capacity that the roads and the railways and the bridges have that connect to our ports.
To compete with the world, it all has to connect and work.
The more we free people up to think about the things they actually care about, instead of worrying about whether they're going to hit a hole in the road, the better off they're going to be.
For drivers like Kelly,
it's not fair that I actually have to come out of my pocket because they don't want to fix the street.
That pothole is personal. Tom Costello, NBC News, Warwick, Rhode Island.
Tom, covering a lot of territory there. In tonight's Price You Pay, if you have lots of travel points or miles, now may be the time to use them. With that, here's Stephanie Rule.
Many Americans are planning trips they put on hold during the thick of the pandemic, knowing they'd be able to use those tickets and bookings in the future. But experts say the future may be now.
Make sure that you're aware of those expiration dates and make sure you're aware of how much money you have to spend so you can budget your trip accordingly.
The rules vary. For example, with American Airlines credit cards, miles expire 18 months from your most recent card use. For United tickets canceled during the pandemic, you have until March of 2022 to travel. So read the fine print on your vouchers and keep in mind that if you book through a third party, you may have to rebook the same way. When it comes to banking rewards points, travel credit card holders have an average of almost $650 in points saved up.
Should we have a use it or lose it mentality?
You don't want to wait forever because points can devalue over time, and some loyalty programs have expiration dates for your points, which means that if you wait too long, they're gone.
If you are vacationing this summer, international flights will get you the biggest discounts because they're the most expensive. But double check the travel restrictions before booking. Set reminders to use credits before they expire. And if you don't have travel plans, consider cashing in your rewards for essentials like groceries or cash back. Stephanie Rule, NBC News.
That is nightly news for this Monday. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.